Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. I'm very, very honored to have Toshi Yanagi here in the studio. You've probably heard him, or you probably hear him every night on Jimmy Kimmel Live. He is the guitarist in residence over, I think the name of the group is Cleto and the Cletones.
Yes, that's correct.
So I just want to welcome you. A fantastic musician. Going through all the music this last week, it was very interesting hearing all the stuff that he was doing. But I was also fascinated when looking at his bio, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. His background, he originally started on violin and piano. So I hear a little bit of it in his playing. We'll talk a little more about that. Okay. Also, too, here joining us, Mimi Carlson, if I get that.
Mimi.
Like Eenie Meenie?
Yes.
Eenie Meenie.
Exactly.
Like Meenie Carlson, who also plays, that's the, if I'm correct, Lori, correct me if that, she's part of the Buzz Wizards.
She's part of the Buzz Wizards,
and
yeah.
She does vocals and guitar.
Yes.
And she's going to play guitar.
She rocks, yes.
Trustful.
And I'm jealous of that exotic guitar that she has. She has a beautiful guitar. I have pictures of it, but it's a really nice one. And then, of course, my very dear friend, Lori Reamer, who introduced me to all these people. Thank you so much for putting this together.
Yeah.
So anyway, before I play the first clip, and I have a bunch of stuff, and we have a lot of questions to ask him about gear and stuff, tell us a little bit about your background.
My background? I am Japanese. I came from Japan like 1985, right after high school.
Mm-hmm.
And came to San Francisco and wanted to go to Musicians Institute in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there from 86 to 88. Then I joined the band called Sicilian Oil and the Wild Clams and played at the Big Theater in North Hollywood for 3 years straight every Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met a lot of different, all kinds of, you know, musicians and my work, you know, diversified from there. And all the Cletones met in that band, too.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, leader Cleto. Yeah, he's from Vegas, and, you know, he joined that band, and, well, you know, same time that I did. So, yeah, and just meeting people from there and go to different gigs, you know, go to get the different gigs.
Now, I want to ask you, because when you were in Japan, you started on violin.
My mom was piano teacher.
Okay.
Classical piano teacher, and my dad was an opera singer, teacher. Then they were teaching me all that stuff and doing a recital every year. And
you had no choice.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's the only thing they could, you know, teach me.
You must learn music.
Yeah, and but not really false freedom. Forced? I wasn't really.
Yeah, they didn't force you to do it.
But
it was in your genes.
Well, then, but I didn't like piano so much, so I said, hey, I'm going to do violin. Mm-hmm. Around when I was 5. Then I thought I could get away from, piano, right? But my mom said, oh, to order to do a violin, you got to do piano also. So, God, I have to now have to do
that's
three
typical,
things.
Right?
Yeah. Then I got into Tokyo Junior Philharmonic, the orchestra, like a junior, like a mm-hmm. from elementary through university guys, girls.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And but every year, 8-9-year-old, kids shred, really good musicians. I said, I can't really compete with this world. But around that time, I started listening to Deep Purple and, Eagles, Zeppelin. Then I said, I like guitar sound, I like distorted guitar. So then I kind of, plucking the little guitars and stuff. Then at one point, there was a tour, audition for tour for violin,
mm-hmm.
right? And I didn't really practice. Then I went to the audition. The kind of the conductor said, conductor yelled at me, like, why didn't you practice? Okay, this is it. I'm not going to, I surrender. I'm going to play guitar. So you guys go ahead and go to Europe and whatever. And so I left, and since then I started playing guitar. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, when you were playing, when you were in Japan,
yeah.
and you were playing violin, and even in the time when you were in the orchestra and stuff like that, besides the classical influences, mm-hmm. did you by chance listen to any of the stuff that was coming out, like with Jean-Luc Ponty and some of the fusion stuff?
Later on, when I came here, I started listening to Jean-Luc Ponty, and I used to listen to UK, Holford, and Bill Bruford.
Oh, yeah.
Bruford and Eddie Jobson.
Eddie Jobson.
When he was in
King Eddie Crimson. Jobson's one of my heroes. He's great.
Yeah. I met him. Yeah, he's great.
I used to listen to that, but I didn't really copy, or transcribe their stuff, but I used to really love listening to that music.
Because we were talking a little bit before the show, and listening to some of the leads that we'll play in a minute, I hear a violin influence in terms of the scales. That's just me, it's very cool.
Yeah.
And in some of the fusion type of things that you're doing, the fast stuff, it feels like that to me. And it's a cool thing because it's a little different. Like the other person that used to do stuff similar to that, though, I think he was more influenced by saxophone, was Alan Hallsworth.
Yeah.
Where he would do these like long runs. But he had I think he was listening more to saxophone because the phrasing was similar to that. Whereas the violin thing, it's a little different because, when you hear like Jean-Luc Ponty or you hear some of the rock violinists that are playing, they do really cool riffs and stuff. And it's similar to guitar, but it's a little different because you can keep going.
Right.
we're like picking away or pulling off or something like that. Well, with the violin, with the bow, they can keep... They can go for quite a while, and they're good at changing bowing directions.
Yeah.
So, but it's interesting, that influence. Now, the piano, did that help you when you, because you have several albums out, and you've in setting up the arrangements, does the piano help, or you just basically you do everything on guitar?
Basically, I do everything with the guitar, but perhaps, I used to play a lot of piano, so maybe... the concept, I don't know, just maybe helping me,
Well, I'm going to ask you a kind of a trippy little question is,
sure.
When you visualize your music, when you're writing stuff, do you visualize it keyboard-wise, laid out like a keyboard, or do you visualize it on the fretboard?
Probably, I'm focusing on mood.
Okay. So you don't think about the notes.
No, but more mood, what is this mood like, So
mm-hmm.
I like moody stuff. Like Bruford, UK stuff. It's technical, but it has some certain kind of mood to it.
It's got the prog influence.
Yeah, definitely going for that mood.
Mm-hmm. Bruford was with Yes before that.
Yeah.
King Crimson. Well, he's played a lot of stuff, and Jobson, one of my favorite albums of all time is Lark's Tongue and Aspic. Yeah. King Crimson, where he was featured, and I was fortunate I got to see that live.
Nice.
And it was amazing. But he would play between Mellotron, and he would go to the he would go to the violin. But he was doing all sorts of to me a breakthrough album for it. But let me go ahead and I'm going to play a clip right now, just to kind of give a little bit of feel, get an idea. This is called Thunder Rod, and if I'm correct, this is the Buzz Wizards.
Yeah.
And this, let me see if I have everything right. This is you on guitar.
Yeah.
Jorgen Carlson on bass.
Jorgen, which is Minnie's husband.
Is it Jorgen?
Minnie's husband.
Jorgen.
Yeah, my better half.
And then Tos Panos on drums. So take a listen to this. This is pretty cool. Great piece, and just great phrasing.
Jorgen mixed this, I think.
Yeah.
It sounds
it's a great mix.
Hi, Jorgen, if you're listening.
Now, I want to mention something that impressed me a lot about that is you're doing a lot of the way you're phrasing and stuff in the melody and stuff. You're doing a lot of two-note things, and you got incredible gain on that guitar.
Yes.
It's cranked and it's great. It's a great tone. But I was amazed how, because a lot of times when you're playing with in strings, it's called double stops. But that type of playing, I was really impressed that I could hear it really clean. It didn't mush out, because that's usually what happens when you have so much gain and you try to play, you know. And I want to know how do that.
It sounds like a lot of gain. It is. Because it's two different overdrives happening. It's one overdrive I used was Exotic BB Plus on the left-hand side, green side. And I pretty much, it's like a overdrive, you know. Mm-hmm. Then I had a full-tone ultimate octave. It's like Octavia kind of a pedal. It's not really hugely distorted, fuzz, you know, distorted or anything, but it's kind of have that overtone.
Yeah, you get that octave tone.
So both of them together, but my volume is probably halfway down.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a nice weird ring modulator tone in certain combination of notes, and spikes out different overtones. So that's, I thought that was interesting too.
No, it's interesting. Now, did you have the which one was first, the exotic or the full tone?
Full tones, guitar, full tune, and
into the exotic. Okay, because
yes.
It's interesting by rolling off your volume, you take it, a lot of those octave boxes get that kind of buzz because it goes way up, it synthesizes up.
Hmm.
But you by rolling your volume on it smooths
it comes
it out.
Down a little
it
bit,
smooths it out.
But it still spikes out. You know,
yeah,
I like
yeah.
that. You know,
no, you get these like weird harmonic
yeah.
things when you hit the note.
Mm-hmm.
And but what amp were you using?
I was on that track. I was using either divided by 13, FTR one, or matchless. I'm not sure. Probably divided by 13.
Okay.
On a clean sound. Clean tone, clean.
So the amp was set clean.
Yes.
So all of that distortion yep. is from the
box. Yeah.
That's amazing because it's still pretty punchy.
Yeah.
You're still getting the punch out of it.
Mm-hmm. I like the amp that has a lot of mid-range, you know,
mm-hmm.
stuff. On live situation, I used Friedman, Boxham Betty.
Okay.
His Friedman stuff is really cool now these days, you know, just a lot of great mid-range happening, and I like that.
The Boxham Betty, is that a pedal or is that...
Oh, it's an amp.
The amp.
Yeah, 50-watt amp. It's a Fender Brain Marshall Power.
Okay, so Fender preamp.
Yeah, and,
EL34
Marshall, is...
Yeah,
Power.
Marshall Power Stage. Oh, that's an interesting... Yeah,
but the recordings, always divided by 13, sit right in the track, right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It has a good, nice mid-range mm-hmm. to it. So anyway, so that's what I used on that.
Well, let me... I'm going to play another clip that shows a little bit... There's some other guitars in here. You have a classical guitar on this one.
Do I?
And this is Assassin.
Oh, yeah. Assassin, okay.
Just to recall your own material, right?
Yes.
All right, let me play the clip and then we'll talk a little about what you did on it. Here's Assassin. I can hear the octave box
yeah.
in that one.
This time, I didn't use any amp. I was
That's
all
direct.
Direct into Neve preamp and just mm-hmm. go into, what is it? interface. But the melody was only, I think it was only a octave box, same ultimate octave, and the solo was, I think it was a BB plus the octave combined.
The two together.
Into, no amp, just going to
into the thing. Because when you started, there was two notes that you're playing and you're moving them, and then it does that ring modulator.
Yeah.
It cancels, which was very, very cool. Mm-hmm. And then what classical guitar were you using?
Classical guitar was...
It's a beautiful sounding guitar.
Martin, actually.
A Martin gut string.
Wait.
Was that gut string?
Yes. Martin.
You and Willie Nelson. No, actually, that's a German style classical guitar.
Oh.
It's actually, I had Lawrence Juber on, and he was telling me about that was a popular until Ramirez came out with the Spanish guitar became, but that was actually considered a legit classical guitar. It's got a long history.
Cool.
Beautiful sound. Huh. Do you remember how you mic'd that?
I was in my studio. It's a close mic like this.
It was just a single mic close?
Yeah.
Close there?
Yeah.
It's a great sound.
Oh, thank you.
And then did your husband mix this?
No, this one wasn't. This was a friend of mine.
Okay, because you got stuff flying around.
Yeah.
Everybody take a listen to this again in headphones, and you can hear the guitars.
Those movements I did, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you did everything on this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all you on there. Yeah, that's
which album is that one?
It was Hollow Humanoids. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the which guitar did you use?
That was SG.
That's an SG?
Angus Young model.
Angus Young?
Yeah, Angus Young, I thought.
And then on the other one that we played, Thunder Rod, what was that?
That was either Exotic or Tele.
Okay.
Oh, my BSG also. Yeah, I can't remember.
Now, speaking of guitars, let's right now talk about the one that you have here. Tell me a little bit about this guy.
Well, this is a, his name is Hiro Miura. He used to work at the Exotic, and he kind of branched out doing his thing now. And so, you know, he actually, I have exact same kind from the Exotic.
Oh, the same type of model.
Yeah, which he made, Hiro made. And this is M Guitar, his company, you know? Yeah.
So what do you have? You have
Peter Florence Voodoo pickups on front and rear. And I think this is Peter Florence as well. Single coil, and it's kind of fat. I made him do fat triangle neck.
Okay.
And this is, I think it's alder body. Yeah.
Okay. So you have alder and maple. Good combination.
Yeah. And this is the Wilkinson Owami.
Yeah, you're not using a locking one. That's just a regular. And then anything special on the nut?
No.
Because it stays jumbo? In tune okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I like it a little bit floating.
Yeah, so you can go back. You can pull
and
it
up. I can do this. I can do vibrato with this.
Oh, okay. What he's doing is he's palming the bridge so he can...
You know, instead of doing this.
Yeah.
A little more controllable, I think.
It's a nice guitar.
Thank you.
He was playing a little bit before. We're going to have them play in a little while, and the sound of the guitar is very, 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 very nice.
It's a really fast response. I like the guitar that has the fast.
Now, let me ask you, I want to talk about what you use for Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Okay.
And then compare it to what you use with the Buzz Wizards.
And Jimmy Kimmel, I use Morgan amp with a Bogner cabinet, 212, has a, what kind of speaker, Celestion, anniversary model, I think. Anyway, and basic, you know, overdrives, fuzz, delays, and multi-delay unit and multi.
So you have a specific pedal board for that setup?
Yeah, to be flexible. You know, any kind of thing they, you know, shoot at us and just I can accommodate, you know, like, yeah, so minimum, not too large. Yeah, and a few acoustics I have there and a few Les Paul, you know, Strat. So different tunes I can.
But like that amp and the pedal board and stuff, you basically leave that at the studio. That just stays there.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then just bring the guitars.
Yeah, and on a Buzz show, I basically same thing, just different kinds of delay unit, and I use Strymon's on my gigs and stuff outside of Kimmel. I use Line 6 stuff, the green delay box and DL4 and ML4, is it? Modulation. Overdrives are both exotic stuff, and but lately I've been using clean amps, right? And I used to have racks and had the channel switching amps and stuff, but now these days I just use clean amp and use overdrives and take overdrive as a kind of amp and control drives by.
So all of your sustain and distortion is coming from
the box.
From your guitar and the pedals.
Yeah, and I control with the volume knobs, you know, just.
And you does that give you more control than cranking the amp up?
Yeah, for those clubs and stuff, I think a little bit more controllable, I think.
But do you still get the punch that you get of cranking the amp?
I do. Yeah,
there's... Because you're using tubes, so that's punchy there.
Yeah, and amp company knows about that, and so they make it, you know. And the Friedman's been doing... Gives you, like...
They're nice.
My God.
But I like cranking them up. They always sound great.
You know.
Dialed.
Yeah, but not crazy, and it's very controllable. I like, you know, I like it take as like a pedal as an amp, an amp drive, you know, same thing. If you crank the Marshall, if you turn it down, it cleans up, right?
So,
it's the same concept. Yeah.
So you basically, whether it's clean or just a little bit dirty, you're controlling it from your volume control, and you're just leaving the
exactly.
pedal on.
Yes.
You can turn that on and play a little bit.
He doesn't have the distortion.
I do.
Oh, you do have it.
No. Samples.
So the full volume of it. If I turn it down.
And that's the... That's the exotic BB.
Yeah.
It's very responsive, yeah. Like, the characteristic is very much like an amp.
Yeah. You know. Very act like an amp, so I still like Marshalls and stuff like that, you know, different situations.
Well, will you find yourself in some recording situations where you'll take an amp and crank it?
Yes, I do.
And then play with, especially if you're in a good studio where the room is nice, where you can pull the mics back and let it breathe.
Yeah, and if you get called for session, if they need that kind of amp, you know, sound, I bring it and just crank it up and play it, you know?
Yeah. No, I think that's interesting. It's also interesting that you're using pedals, because a lot of guys are now using a lot more of the virtual stuff that the plugins that you get on the computers.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, they can fake me out. I can't tell all the time.
Yeah.
But when you set up an amp and mic it right, there's just nothing like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, all the stuff that we grew up with. If you like Zeppelin, and you, that's all mite. That's that sound.
Halen, is, you know, Van Halen, stuff like that. Yeah.
So, let me play another one.
Okay.
And I want to talk a little bit about which one. This one's called "Tits on the Bloom,"
yes.
And it's. I want to talk about your tone on this because it's got an interesting sound to it.
Okay.
And I just want to mention. Jorgen does a great bass little thing. I was pulling the clip out of the song. And understand, these songs are much more developed. And Meanie has vocals on some of them. And I just cut the guitar parts for the show. But I just heard this bass thing. I'm like, no, I got to put this in. This is just too cool.
Jorgen Kersen, yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and play this and take a listen.
You're everywhere.
And listen to his sound of his guitar. It has this kind of a nasal quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask him a little more how he got this tone. So hang on here. Take a listen. Now there's it's interesting because I hear the octave. I presume you're using the octave box in there. But there's that kind of like I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of like a nasally type of sound. My first inclination would be using like just opening up a little bit of a wah to get it to get that tone, but it doesn't sound quite like that.
Believe or not, this is okay, so the previous songs, the pickups are all bridges.
Bridge pickup, okay.
But this one is the neck pickup.
That's the neck pickup.
Yeah. So that's basically the same kind of concept.
So it's the...
Pedals are same, but the pickups are different.
So now are you using the BB and the octave?
I think so, yes.
There?
And this was live at the Jorgen studio.
Mm-hmm.
Carmine Appice's brother.
Oh, wow.
Carmen's, yeah.
Then Jorgen, we were just playing at the same time, and then that's why.
That's one of the best bass parts ever. I love the sound of that bass.
Aww, thank you.
You have to let me know what he was using. It sounded like he was flanging it a little bit or something. He was doing something on there. It had a great tone to it. But
you,
I mean,
you want me to call him?
But that was awesome. That's just I can see you were just like taking off with that. But that bass is just
cool.
In your face and driving.
Hey.
So Jorgen, that's very, very
imagine,
cool.
Imagine, you know, listening to that song on the freeway in Broome, right?
Tits on a Broome.
It's like a, basically it's a witch.
Yeah.
On the broom, like on the freeway. Just that's what I was imagining.
Interesting imagination.
Yeah.
But a great, and then, of course, the solo, just the phrasing and stuff. You do some really interesting, very interesting things on there. Let's play another one. It's I want to play this. This is another live one, Magnum Force.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember the part of the clip here, but it sounded like, well, we'll talk about the amp and the guitar. It sounds like you're using a phaser on this one.
Did I?
So let's take a listen.
Okay.
Quick, grab the liner
notes. One thing about this show is that we really get into
picking
your brains and getting into the memory, getting into remembering. This is Magnum Force Live. Take a listen. We'll talk more about this.
Yes, you're correct.
There's something. Is that the phaser? Is that the
ML4
or is that a separate phaser? Is that part of the Line 6? Is that a
no,
Line 6?
No, it's a MXR phase
MXR?
90. Phase 90, yes.
I knew there was something going on there. There was something moving around in that distortion. Now, there was something going on in the back before we get into what you were what you're using. There's like a it sounded like a distorted guitar that was kind of feedbacking. Was that Meany?
That was a keyboard. Right?
That was a keyboard?
Yeah.
Cuz it was some really interesting
like a real
Ethereum. It was like
sound.
It sounded like voices.
Huh?
It sounded like voices.
It's a Jeff. Jeff Babko was doing some colors and stuff.
Mm.
He's a king of that, you know. So yeah.
But were you playing guitar now?
I sing on this one.
Okay, because there was like these power chords too while you were doing the lead. Was there?
No, that was a keyboard.
That's pretty.
It's an analog keyboard he was using.
He was faking me out. That's like he was phrasing like a guitar. It sounded like a guitar.
Yeah.
Now that was you on guitar.
Yeah.
And that was Steve Ferrone.
Steve Ferrone, yeah.
And Meany,
Jorgen.
And Jeff.
Jeff.
And
then
Meany
on
vocals. So very that was now and again. So you were using the phaser, same thing, the BB
plus,
and the Friedman or the
actually that was a matchless.
That was the matchless. Okay, it's a great sound.
I was using HC85.
HC85.
Yeah, the amp. Yeah.
And that you had that set up clean, so all the dirt is coming out of the pedals.
Yep.
Very controllable. I mean, it's great because articulation, you do those little fast little runs in between, those little circular runs in there, and it's just every note's just clear. And that's not easy to do with that much gain.
Like, But it's always, I'm not really, remember, I'm not really fully up.
You're not open up wide on the guitar.
Just a little bit back most of the time.
Yeah. Now, which guitar were you using on that?
That was Exotic. Yes. Or Les Paul. I've been using a True Historic Les Paul from last year. 2017 or 2016, I forgot. Mm-hmm. But Les Paul.
Oh,
or
okay.
Exotic, yeah.
It's one or the other.
Yeah.
It's hard. The pickups are so good, and the gain of your gain stage, it's hard to tell. And let me also interject. That was from the Buzz Wizard Live at the Baked Potato.
Yes.
I don't know all of the albums because he had sent me the clips and it didn't say where they were from.
Oh, okay.
So I just want to mention Tits on the Bloom and Thunder Rod were from which album?
From the, I believe Thunder Rod is from the second album, which is Buzz Wizard.
Okay.
Title, you know.
The Assassin is from
one,
the Hello Humanoids.
Yes.
Okay. And then...
That's a great
title. Yes. Very great.
And the Tits is from the Spud Magic, which is...
Spud Magic.
Yeah.
Okay.
That one, the white one.
Yeah,
the third one.
One,
yeah.
No, that's, I've got to make sure we mention those because there's just so much interesting stuff that you're doing on here. Have you in the studio? Do you most of this stuff did you record at
either Jorgen's or my house?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it a small room or a pretty good size room?
Like amp room is a. Like a quarter of this. It's like a one third of this.
Of this room. This room's like about what, 12 by 12 or something. So,
and
but
control.
But do you mic up close or
it's
how?
Close.
Okay.
And two mics.
Two mics.
Yeah, and one is Saint Hanser 421.
Sennheiser. Yeah.
And 57.
Oh wow, 421 and a SM57.
Yeah, going like this. Yeah.
Are they off axis from the speaker or are they
a little bit
so it's not on the cone
yeah
it's a little bit gives off. You a little more mellower sound
just a little bit
so anytime so pretty much close miking you don't pull the mics back
not in my house
yet gotta try the, especially if you're into the Zeppelin thing, you have to do the three mic thing.
Okay. Yeah.
The 57 about a foot away, and then a good condenser about 6 feet, and then about 8 or 10 feet, another condenser, and mix that. That's how you get that. That's how you got that huge sound.
All right.
But the Jimmy Kimmel, how do they mic you, or do they just pull you direct?
No, they mic the speaker. I'm mono, but they somehow mic the two of my speakers. Close.
Okay, real close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not too bad.
It's not too weird, not too loud, because it's in the studio, you know? So we can't really turn that up that loud.
Right, right.
But so they close mic it.
They close mic it. Not too much bleed through from the other instruments and stuff.
No.
Oh, okay.
Keyboards are basically direct, you know?
Yeah.
And drum has the plexi.
Yeah, the plexi baffle. Yeah. Now, when you use the acoustic guitars, do you plug in?
Yes.
You plug it, so you're using pickups in the guitars.
Yeah.
So everything's pretty controlled.
Yeah, I've been using a Yamaha acoustic guitar, and they have really good pickups in them. You know, it's not active; it's a passive. You know.
Yeah.
But it's really nice.
No, it's really. Did you go to Yamaha at NAMM?
You know what? I couldn't go get there in time. I just.
Because they made a new what they call a trans acoustic, and it has it comes out of the sound hole. There's a little device in there that gives you reverb and chorus. So they were playing them last week on the microphone, and it sounds like full reverb. It's really cool.
Wow.
But they make a more affordable version of that, and
I believe you.
You can when you plug it in, you still have the effects. That's very
cool.
Very cool. Yeah, they're always innovating. They're doing some pretty interesting stuff. But no, that's interesting. So it's pretty tight. And then so you don't get very loud at all then on the stage.
No, not really. No.
But you don't need to. Well, with your setup, it's all controlled through the pedals. So you're pretty cool.
Yeah, you want to push the speaker just a little bit, you know, but not super loud. It's very controllable. Yeah.
No, that's interesting. Now, when you play live, do you just use a 212 cabin, or do you go bigger?
You know, I've been using 112.
Really?
Yeah, but it's a 65-watt cream back, it's called, Selection, with 50-watt amp. The Box and Betty is 50-watt. It's plenty. I cannot pass through three.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. Right, that amp is really big, right?
Well, that those cream backs are really clean too. Yeah. They have a real nice, they get a nice glassy sound when you play clean. That they're a very nice speaker.
Yeah, very soft. It's kind of round. If you are away from, you know, if you're in front of it, if you listen to it, it spikes. But it's nice. It's nice so people don't get. You know, bleed.
No, it has a nice. It's not a. It's not a harsh speaker at all. It's a very nice sounding speaker.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And
but it breaks up nice too. You know, the response. Yeah.
But you're not really breaking it up, though.
No, it's hard to break it up. You know, somehow that amp, it goes up and it doesn't distort. You know, it's weird.
The Buxom doesn't break it up. It's real clean.
It's real clean.
Wow.
Maybe breaks up a little bit, but I haven't really turned it up to 10. But,
because even on this clip live that we just played, you start pulling feedback out of that, but you're not playing that loud, were you?
Not really. No.
No, I'm amazed that you were able to get that much feedback, get it to really move. That's a tribute to that pedal. Mm-hmm. That pedal really has the...
BB
that has
plus.
The gain, yeah, because I mean that's difficult to do without a lot of volume.
Yeah, special.
Well, I told you we'd go by really fast.
What?
But I want to get in real quick, Lori. You have the date
announcement time.
Announcement time.
Sure. So the Buzz Wizards play at the Baked Potato a lot.
Yes.
And the first gig they're doing this year is going to be on February 27th.
Yes.
And then they're doing, should I tell them the other one too?
Yes.
Okay, the other one's on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
April 1st.
Oh, bye.
So if you miss one, come to the other, or
April
if you
1st.
Love the first one,
and
come it,
and
to
it's
the
not
other.
A joke. They're really playing. It's not April Fool's.
Yeah, and April 2nd is my birthday, so it's going to happen.
Oh, well, there you go. So. Yeah. Lots of fun. And Steve Ferroni is on that show.
Yes.
And who's playing keyboards? Do you know yet?
Matt Rohde's going to
play. We love Matt. He played the last show. He's a genius. Yeah. Great, great, great.
And Jorgen Carson and Mimi, of course.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then I just want to announce one other show with friends of all of ours, including Steve Ferroni again on this show. Kind of a special thing. Jeff Young, keyboardist for Jackson Browne's traveling band.
Mm-hmm.
He put together a show with Osnoy, who's going to be in town February 23rd. And Will Lee is on bass, and Steve Ferroni is on drums.
Wow.
And it's going to be at Molly Malone's on the 23rd of February. Big party.
Oh,
I'm sure we'll all be there, right?
Yeah.
Woohoo!
We love it.
And these albums, check out Spud Magic, Hello Humanoids, Buzz Wizards Live at the Baked Potato. And there was a couple other ones that you gave me clips.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. This one.
It's Buzz Wizards.
This is called Buzz Wizards.
Yes.
And there's a Facebook page, Buzz Wizards. Check it out. Like it.
Or Toshinari Yanagi.
And Toshi's,
Music.
ToshiYanagiMusic.net.
Yes.
Is his website. And there's all sorts of goodies and
please
stuff
friend there. Me on Facebook. That would
Toshi-san.
Be a nice. Please.
Yes. I did send him this. But the. But check out these albums. They're available everywhere.
Yes.
All the usual outlets like Amazon. Well, the usual ones now are Amazon and iTunes.
CD Baby. Yes. Yeah. iTunes. Yes.
So, but we're going to I want to thank you again. And
thank you
got to come
much.
Back. We have to talk more about the pedal. You got some really, you're getting some amazing sounds.
You'll bring more pedals next time. Yeah. Guitars.
And you too. We didn't really... we'll have to talk about this.
Next time we'll bring Jorgen in too.
Meanie is the best guitar player and singer, you know.
And most true. And she has a really nice... real quick, she has a very interesting... it's a Tele with like a mini humbucker on it.
Custom guitar.
Custom.
By Exotic, yes.
Yeah. So
do some acoustic.
Now, you got to tell them about that chip to go in the case, right? That...
So you can
know where it is.
Trace?
You've heard of
I know who that's. I know the guy. Yeah.
Okay. No, I'll tell. We don't have enough. I want to make sure that they get a chance to do the song, but I'll tell you guys after the show. But anyway, I just want to thank you, and I love to have you guys come back.
Yeah.
All of you. Maybe we can get your husband too.
Yes, definitely.
Because I have some questions about his bass playing. All
right. And come to Jimmy Kimmel if you want. You
know. Oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds like a plan.
And the baked potato.
Anyway, we're going to take ourselves out with Neolithic.
Yeah.
And just kind of set up the piece. Now, the original recording of it, it's got a lot of synths in it.
Yeah.
So you guys are doing
it
without
stripped down version of it.
Okay. Anyway, I want to thank you. Lori, thank you so much for the show.
Thank you. Yay.
Meanie, Toshi, it's just really great to have you guys on. So everybody have a great week, and we're going to leave you with Neolithic.
Gibbering ape man, what were you saying? Neolithic, gibbering ape man, what were you doing? Is that the same tongue you catch flies with? Is that the only way you can describe it? Don't deny it. What a frustrating result of your lack of intelligence to assume we want the truth. It's the hustler predator. Thank you. at the end.